SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our midweek edition of Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid, SportsGrid.com. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, the latest in baseball, basketball, previews coming up of the NFL draft. An interesting player that we're going to talk about today at quarterback. Have a preview of that. Latest on all of these afternoon baseball games. We're going to have live scoring for you coming up at 1 o'clock Eastern. Basically, five or six games going on this afternoon. We'll recap what happened last night. And Davis, good night in the NBA as well. Real exciting finish in the Clippers-Blazers game, which we talked about yesterday. And certainly the Nets, I saw a stat the other day, I think about the Nets, maybe Woj posted this, I can't remember, that they're going to have a total of seven games played with the three of them on the court at the same time between the three main guys on the Nets before the playoffs. I mean, I'll tell you right now, if the Nets end up winning the NBA championship, they may as well just scrap the entire regular season forever because it would be embarrassing.
Well, that has to be the worry from people around the NBA is that Harden and Kyrie and Durant kind of just fiddle-faddle around during the regular season. We're seeing lots of DeAndre Jordan and Jeff Green and Bruce Brown and all of these guys. And seven games was the stat from Woj that all of them have been active on the court together. They're going to show up. They get 4 days off before the start of the playoffs because of the play-in tournament going on in the Eastern and the Western Conference. So they'll get to rest up, probably get a couple practices in, and they'll use that first series they play like a scrimmage, essentially. And, you know, I agree with you, not great for the regular season if they just kind of sleepwalk to the title.
All right, let's get to our headlines here at the top of the show. We'll start off with the Oakland A's. If there is ever a team that is streaky in baseball, it is this team. All you got to do is go back and watch the Moneyball movie. This has happened so many times, Davis, with the A's. Doesn't matter. Over the course of a season, at some point, they're going to win 15 games in a row. I don't know why it always happens with them, but it does. They've won 10 games in a row. They started off 1-7. It's amazing. Speaking of amazing, Corbin Burns broke the Major League Baseball record yesterday. No walks, 40 innings. Let that sink in for a minute, how good Corbin Burns has been, on track potentially to win the Cy Young. The Nationals have placed Juan Soto on the injured list. He's going to be out for 10 days. Paul George, a couple of free throws yesterday, ends up giving the Clippers a one-point win at Portland. And Davis, already eight teams backing out of the Super Soccer League? What in the world's going on here?
Well, the soccer league is not going to happen, thank goodness, because basically what happened is fans took to the streets in Europe, in Spain, basically just saying, like, look, we're not having this. We're not going to support it. We're not going to go to games. We're not going to buy jerseys. This is not what we want, because it is what it is. It was a blatant money grab by the teams. It was an attempt to take the teams away from the community and make it more, I mean, really what the European Soccer League was about, or Super League, it was about globalizing the sport, about, they would play games in Saudi Arabia and in Miami, and they would broadcast it at weird times in Europe so that people could watch in Asia and in the United States. And it wasn't going to fly with the fans in the cities where the teams are located.
Yeah, and look, I think that I'll just have to trust your judgment on this one in terms of that. It does make some sense there, too. Going back to baseball yesterday, and we'll hear from Corbin Burns coming up in just a couple of minutes, but his odds to win the Cy Young at the beginning of the season were beyond 30-1 over on FanDuel. And right now, Davis, Corbin Burns has made the biggest jump, I want to say, in anybody in sports on FanDuel. I mean, you generally don't see this quickly. We're talking about 3 weeks. And for an MVP or a Cy Young or a rookie of the year going from this high, 35-1 to like 3-1, essentially. I always feel like you talked about with Giannis not winning the MVP, that there is that sort of, idea that DeGrom, he just wins every year. They want to give it to someone else. And I'm not saying that DeGrom shouldn't win it. I think that he very well could. But I will say right now, Davis, Corbin Burns is probably the fantasy baseball MVP of the 2021 season. I don't know how anyone could argue against that. And I would say that if he pitches like this the entire season, it does not matter what Jacob DeGrom does. He is going to win the Cy Young Award. If Corbin Burns, Davis, walks three guys all year, he's going to win the award. So there's still, even at 3-1, is a little value.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter what DeGrom does. So Corbin Burns right now has a 0.37 ERA through four starts. He has not walked anyone. He is striking out 14.8 batters per nine innings. His skill-adjusted ERA, 0.68. His expected skill-adjusted ERA, 1.22. Like, even the advanced ERA indicators don't, they don't think that he's pitching over his head. Basically, they think that he is doing a fantastic job. So I got to hand it to you. You are on this Corbin Burns number early, and he has been so incredible that I think it's probably going to convey for people who bet on him at 15-1.
Yeah, no fantasy leagues do I have Corbin Burns, by the way. I didn't even back it up with my own teams. Shohei Ohtani, by the way, yesterday did pitch four innings, did strike out seven. A good sign that he is back on the mound. He has got to go a little bit deeper into the games, strike out more batters, pick up some of these artificial wins, I think, to get that MVP. But definitely still value there for him as well. Angels, as Davis said, playing great ball this year. Definitely overlooked by me for sure. All right, our fantasy standouts are coming up next in the NBA and Major League Baseball. Our producer, Brett Levy, is rocking and rolling. He is all ready to take care of business with who did what in the NBA last night, as well as Davis. Our profiles continue for the NFL draft. We got you until 2 o'clock Eastern here on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports. Today, time for our fantasy standout here on this Wednesday, April 21st, 2021. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, our producer Brett Levy, as we run through who did what in the NBA last night. And we start off with the game that you literally could not pay me to watch. Minnesota-Sacramento. Come on. There's no way Davis or Brett watched any of this game last night. But Karl-Anthony Towns did have 26 points, 18 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 blocks. Paul George, a couple of free throws late. Big game for him. 33, 11, 3 assists, 2 steals. Kyrie Irving gives the Brooklyn Nets another win. 32 points, 2 rebounds, 8 assists, and 1 steal. Got to hand it to Zion Williamson. He has really come on over the last couple of months. 33 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. And then D'Angelo Russell caps it off, 28 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists. So it's not fantasy or reality time, Davis, but there's no way you watched more than a minute of that Sacramento-Minnesota game last night. No chance. Don't say you did.
No, I didn't watch a minute of it. You know, if you're watching games sitting here in April, you're watching the Clippers and Trailblazers, you're watching the Nets play. Like, you're watching these games that have a big impact on the standings here. And I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns, the Timberwolves are probably trying to take any positive signs that they can get. Another lost year for that franchise coming into next season. I guess maybe they'll feel better about their team next year with Kat, D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, and Anthony Edwards. But, you know, the Minnesota Timberwolves are not playing under the bright lights right now. You are definitely correct.
And A-Rod, too. They'll have him next year also. So, Brett, Clippers win a big one at Portland yesterday. I guess they probably should have won easier. If I'm not mistaken, they were huge favorites, right? Yesterday we talked about it on the show. So where do you have the Clippers in your West rankings, Brett? Where do you have the Los Angeles Clippers? Do you have them 1, 2, 3? I can't imagine lower than 4. Where do you have the Clippers going into the playoffs? They were the favorite to win the title at this time last year.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how the Lakers look when they come back. I'm curious to see how Donovan Mitchell looks when he comes back from his ankle injury. But I would have the Clippers right there at 3, probably ahead of the Nuggets now with Jamal Murray out for the year. I think the Clippers, probably the third most likely team to come out of the West. They added Rondo kind of at the deadline slash waiver period. You know, he'll help in the postseason. He wasn't such a big regular season addition. Everyone signs him for quote unquote playoff Rondo. But, you know, they still lack some scoring at the point guard position. They're going to need Kawhi and Paul George to be on the ball a lot. Kawhi's great at scoring when off the ball as well. So, you know, Paul George will probably be handling the ball a lot, and they'll need him to limit his turnovers. And we'll see how Serge Ibaka looks. We'll see how some of their older bigs look. But I think the Lakers have two superstars, Craig. Kawhi and Paul George are as good as any two players in the league on any given night. So, you know, they'll never be more than 5-point dogs in any game this postseason because those guys aren't sitting.
Yeah. No, Davis, do you see it the same way? Do you think that the Clippers are maybe underrated going into this year's playoffs? I know Kawhi caught a lot of heat last year for not getting that team further.
Yeah, they're super underrated because everyone, you know, likes to hate on Paul George. And it really, it's the same thing going on with the Clippers that is going on with the Bucks. No one wants to take them seriously. No one cares about their regular season numbers. It's all about what they accomplish in the playoffs. But honestly, 1 through 8, this Clippers team is probably better than the Lakers team that you know won the championship last year. Like they have, you know, I would say Kawhi and LeBron at this point in their careers are pretty analogous, and Anthony Davis is better than Paul George. But like 3 through 5, I think the Clippers are almost certainly better than this Lakers roster.
All right, Brett, any favorite baseball fantasy standouts you want to mention before we let you go back to producing? Any baseball players?
I'm just really glad CJ Cron came through for you guys.
Me too.
He finally hit
Me
a
too.
Home run. Oh. So big shout out to CJ Cron.
Thank goodness. He didn't make the list somehow, though. We'll have to blame the producer for that. All right, Brett, have a great day. Thanks for coming on. Fantasy standouts in baseball yesterday. We had 2 home runs apiece from Buster Posey. Giants are playing good baseball. That's surprising. 2 home runs, 2 RBIs, 3 runs. Jose Abreu, 3 hits, 2 home runs, 3 runs driven in, 3 runs scored. Julio Urias yesterday, 11 strikeouts during that day game yesterday for the Dodgers, 7 innings pitched. He has really become a good pitcher, as if the Dodgers needed another one of those. Corbin Burns, who we've mentioned, 10 strikeouts, 4 hits, no walks, and a win. Sean Manaea, his best start in how long, Davis? I don't know, 2 years, 3 years? 7 innings pitched, no earned runs, 7 strikeouts, 6 hits, a win, and a walk yesterday. But we would be remiss if we did not let Corbin Burns talk yet again on this show about how well he is pitching. This guy is super focused. Did say that a lot of the players on the team had mentioned to him about the record that he broke, but simply put, is looking to already move forward.
I think so. I'll take the rest of the rest of the night to kind of reflect on it. You know, I've heard it from everyone in the clubhouse, so you know, it's kind of hard to escape it right now. So you know, tonight we'll kind of reflect on it and you know, enjoy it and kind of celebrate a little bit tonight. But then you know, we're back at it tomorrow and. I think I got an extra day this week, so you know, back at it and start preparing for the next one.
This is kind of why, Davis, I thought Milwaukee had some decent odds to win the division, make the postseason, because I did like Burns a lot. But they also have Woodruff and Davis. They're taking out the Padres this week, you know, like without Yelich and without Lorenzo Cain and this kid. I don't know if you saw it yesterday, Billy McKinney, who is a post-hype prospect, I believe who was on the Cubs, is smashing the ball. He made an unbelievable, maybe the catch of the year yesterday in the fourth inning. And so all of a sudden that boring Brewers team is kind of one to keep an eye on because there's very few teams that have two aces like this. It takes you back to like the way we felt about Washington maybe a couple of years ago
We don't feel about them now, obviously, that way. But they do have two guys at the front of that rotation. If they get in, what, a five-game series? I mean, I think that they should be favored.
Yeah, because in the postseason, it really is all about your starting pitching. If you have guys who can go seven innings and only let up one or two runs, it just gives you a gigantic advantage. We see this happen time and time again in the postseason where teams with good bats but great starting pitching tend to do a little bit better than the market expects. Billy McKinney, an interesting guy. He was an all-bat prospect and has been in the minors forever. His first season in rookie ball, Craig, was all the way back in 2013. 2017, he had a triple-A season for the Yankees where he had a 381 weighted on-base average. Did pretty well in 2019 in the minors and actually spent a little bit of time with the big league club with Toronto, but he's just one of those guys who never really had a position. He is a D-minus fielder, and they already have another D-minus fielder, Daniel Vogelbach, that they're playing at first base. So I wonder if this becomes a situation where the starting pitchers are not a big fan of Billy McKinney and Daniel Vogelbach out there ruining some of their great work. You know, obviously they're painting the corners, but you as a National League team, it's tough. You got to find spots to get these bat first guys in your lineup, and you have to sacrifice some defense at the corners.
Yeah, I keep forgetting Colton Wong is also out for them as well. He's on the injured list. I keep forgetting that three big names on their team being out. Really interesting team to watch this season for sure, because the Pirates are obviously not good. We don't think the Cubs are going to be very good. It's really the Brewers and Cardinals, at least for the most part. It looks like it could end up being that way. So, all right, that's our fantasy standouts for today. And, of course, a lot of day games today. So we're going to wade through this this DFS schedule here today. And we got lineups for a lot of the teams that are out. So we'll get into who is in and who is out. We'll take a look at the top priced players. And of course, we always start with pitchers. And look, there's only really a couple of strong guys at the top today. And so beyond that, you're going to have to make some decisions. So stay with us and stay on the grid. Also coming up a little bit later, more on the upcoming 2021 NFL draft. Our previews continue today. Another look at a quarterback coming up in just a bit. So stay with us and stay with us here on Fantasy Sports Today on the Grid. Craig Mish, David Matic on FST. We are back in just 2 minutes with our daily fantasy sports baseball preview. Don't go away.
Your heart's race.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. If you like baseball and you like afternoon baseball, today is your day. This feels like very similar to an opening day schedule. I count 6 afternoon baseball games today on this Wednesday, which is not normal. Usually it's 1 or 2, maybe 3, but I guess a lot of getaway days today. I'm not really sure. Regardless of that, let's try and help you out in DFS. We do have some lineups today, so we'll get to those as well. Davis, let's start off with the pitchers. Max Scherzer was really good last time out. He's a player I root for, so I'm happy to see him sort of turning back the corner again. Aaron Civale, 10,200 for Cleveland. Zach Eflin had the bullpen blown up yesterday for Philly. We'll see if they can hold it down today, 9,600. Denelson Lamet is back at 9,000. Tyler Molly's been pretty good this year at 8,800. The Reds, by the way, placed Moustakas on the injured list, so he won't be with the club for a bit. And then Trevor Rogers in Miami, who has pitched amazing to start the season, 8,800, strikes out everybody he sees, essentially, but doesn't really get deep into games. And I know you're looking for that win, too. All right, Davis, let's go. Pitchers, who do we got today?
Yeah, so we have some split slates over on FanDuel today. So definitely a lot. I mean, we got. I think there's 14 total games today. Scherzer clearly the best starting pitcher going today. He pitches in the night slate. They're going up against the St. Louis Cardinals. We have him projected for over 40 FanDuel points. No other pitcher is projected for over 33. Your guy, Trevor Rogers, for the Miami Marlins, I think in the early slate, looks like clearly the best available starting pitcher. Denilson Lamet returning from the injured list for the San Diego Padres. I think this is a huge start for him. If he's able to get through this start with no injury complications, no control complications, has some of that off-speed stuff that he's throwing for strikes, I think that's going to be big for the Padres organization. And I do like him against Milwaukee today. You know, we know the Brewers have good pitching, but lots of strikeouts in their lineup. And then a cheap guy I think that you can look at, Jose Quintana for the Los Angeles Angels, going up against that Rangers lineup that has a bunch of guys who swing and miss. I mean, Quintana, I never like him, but he's 5,500. He is less than half of Max Scherzer's salary and lets you get in pretty much whoever you want.
Yeah, Texas is just an embarrassment, honestly. That team, that offense is just, I mean, I can't believe the team they're rolling out there this year, but obviously not trying. Okay, Freddie Freeman will start off at first base. Freeman says he's done talking about a new contract with the Braves. That was surprising to hear yesterday. Rhys Hoskins, $4,000. Vlad Guerrero Jr., always a decent option at four. Jared Walsh, $3,800 on the Angels. Salvador Perez and JT Realmuto actually make our list today. Two catchers out of six. Highly priced possibilities today. Do you pick a first baseman or a catcher today, Davis?
Yeah, I still think you probably are picking a first baseman. Freddie Freeman, again, in Yankee Stadium. Today it's against Kluber, who, by the way, has looked awful, you know, just nibbling around the edge of the zone, not trying to blow the fastball or the cutter by anybody. So Freddie Freeman is our top overall first baseman today. Ulieski Gurriel against Austin Gomber, the lefty in Coors. Finally, we are going to mention CJ Cron. Playing in Coors today, gets off the schneid a little bit yesterday. A couple cheaper options to use as well. Brad Miller in the lineup today for the Phillies. Now, Anthony Desclafani is very good against right-handed bats, but left-handed bats, he's never been able to get them out with the same regularity. Brad Miller is the dead minimum salary on FanDuel for the early slate. Yeah, I just you can get him in with pretty much whoever else you want. I do actually think Brad Miller, decent play today in the early slate.
All right, let's go over to second base where they're back at Coors against Houston. Ryan McMahon, $4,100 today. Whit Merrifield of the Royals, $3,900. Jazz Chisholm Jr. of the Marlins, $3,800 leading off today. Altuve is out, so no need to play him at $3,500. Joey Wendell, $3,500. And then Garrett Hampson is $3,500 as well. Coors game today again, Davis. So, you know, certainly you would love to have Altuve back out there. But that has not worked for the Astros. I mean, the Astros are, I don't know, Davis, honestly, what's going on with them. They can't score at home. They can't score on the road. It just hasn't made a difference. I guess having their guys out definitely factors in somewhat, but it has not gone well for them.
No, it's really not been pretty at all for them. And even in our projections today, we don't have anyone big at second base popping for them. The guys we like the most, Marcus Semien and Kevon Biggio. We think Garrett Richards is going to get blown up today by the Toronto Blue Jays. I think the Blue Jays are one of the better stacking options you can use today in this slate, because I think there'll be a lot of attention on the Braves, rightfully so, and then obviously a lot of attention on that Coors game as well. And then what do we got to do to get Tommy La Stella's price raised? This guy is just, he's raking, Craig. He is just destroying right-handed pitching right now. $2,300 on FanDuel, just an absolute bargain. I mean, even compared to $2,000 Brad Miller, we'd rather have Tommy La Stella.
All right, over to third base. We'll see if Alex Bregman gets used tonight. He's $4,300 at Coors. Ryan McMahon, $4,100 at Coors. Vladimir Guerrero qualifies at third, $4,000. Machado, $3,700. Chris Bryant of the Cubs, $3,600. Anthony Rendon and Wendell at $3,500 today. So third base, I mean, look, is it Toronto stack? Is that what you're feeling today, Davis?
Yeah. You know, Kevon Biggio eligible at third, Vlad Guerrero Jr. eligible at third, Alex Bregman, the best option. I mean, he is projected so much higher than every other third baseman. Ryan McMahon, I think, is pretty strong here as well. Rafael Devers against Thornton there for the Boston Red Sox as well. And then Josh Donaldson back in the lineup, 2,900. And then Jose Ramirez, we talked about him yesterday, only priced up to 3,300 today against a guy, this fella Stiver for the Chicago White Sox. Literally do not know the first thing about him. Think that he is, don't think he is a big prospect inside of the White Sox organization. So Jose Ramirez, definitely someone I am going to be interested in using in tonight's slate.
Okay, over to shortstop. Trevor Story is 4,000. Trey Turner, 3,900. Javier Baez, 3,800. Jazz Chisholm qualifies as short, 3,800. Correa, still waiting for a little breakout for him this year, 3,700. And Fernando Tatis Jr., 3,500. Tatis, I don't know. I mean, Tatis hasn't looked the same. I mean, I guess you could say that since he's come back. And I suppose at some point he's just going to go nuts, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of research on Fernando Tatis, and I found that as a result of this shoulder injury, he has purposely changed his swing. So he is swinging two-handed now. He is ending his swing with two hands instead of ending it with one hand. And I guess just my thought would be, he spent his whole life swinging one way. He's trying to swing another way now to avoid re-injuring his shoulder. I feel like it's probably not a good idea to do that. Like, why mess with the swing that just made you like $160 million? I would probably think about probably keeping that swing the same. So I'm not big on Tatis in this slate. Bichette, Semien, Trevor Story, Carlos Correa. Correa probably is the one I like the most, has that platoon advantage against Austin Gomber. I think he looks pretty interesting in this slate.
All right, and to cap it off, in the outfield, Mike Trout is 4,500. Bryce Harper has been amazing to start the season. They didn't get talked about at all, 4,500. They think Ronald Acuna Jr. could be back tonight, but of course there's a TBD on him at 4,500. J.D. Martinez is slugged for the Red Sox. Buxton's 4,200. And Michael Brantley has been the one Astro that has hit, so he seems pretty safe at 4,100. And I do think Ohtani's supposed to be back in the lineup today at 4,100. But again, you always have to wait and see with him.
Yeah, so if we do get Ohtani in the lineup tonight, the Angels, Mike, their outfield triumvirate of Jared Walsh, Mike Trout, and Shohei Ohtani, they get to go up against Mike Fultonevich, who has been better in the sample in 2020 than he was back in that disastrous sample in 2019. Now, I don't think he's all the way fixed, but the big problem Fultonevich always had was giving up the home runs. So Trout, Ohtani, Jared Walsh as one-offs, I think they all look pretty strong. I think any of your left-handed outfielders that you can use for the Atlanta Braves look pretty strong. And then we have a fair few value outfielders here in the morning slate. Alex Dickerson against Eflin, he's 2,200. And our stuff loves Adam Duvall against this Bruce Zimmerman guy, basically just saying he's absolutely going to tee off against Bruce Zimmerman, which I think, sounds pretty accurate. And we also want to like the Yankees against Ian Anderson, but I just cannot publicly say, don't play any Yankees right now. I don't know what's going on with them. They cannot get a hit. Hicks can't hit. Judge can't hit. Stanton can't hit. They need Luke Voit back, and they need, they got to do something. I mean, they batted Brett Gardner third again yesterday. Like you can't have that. You cannot have that if you have a World Series aspiration. Gardner cannot be batting third.
Yeah, the manager is the only person you could fire, and it's not Aaron Boone's fault. But I mean, the way that this is trending, I mean, I don't know what else that they're going to be able to do. I mean, I guess they could just change all the personnel, but I don't know. It's like one that you don't want to speculate on because it's a guy's job, but you also have to wonder how long they'll just let this happen. But I'm with you. In any scenario, I don't care if you're swapping out a player, you got to have somebody else bat third than Gardner. I mean, that doesn't add up at all. But the analytics, I guess, said to play Gardner third, and that's kind of what happened. So we'll see which way the Yankees go. All right, coming up next, our previews are coming up, and we'll look at the Giants and Phillies. They are starting in about 30 minutes from now, so we'll give you a pick for FanDuel today. Also, can the Astros get things right against the Rockies? They have really gone south and have not hit at all. They got guys on the COVID list. They made them play. Twins didn't have to. It's a weird situation there. And then we'll hear from Dave Martinez on what happened to Juan Soto, because like a half hour before their game yesterday, boom, goes on the injured list. And now you don't have him for a week in fantasy. So we'll hit on that as well. More fantasy sports today is coming up. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We have our producer, Brett Levy, in the house, of course, today. And he thought that he had one of the surprise picks in his fantasy draft this year by taking Odubel Herrera, the center fielder who once upon a time was an all-star and a really good player, and then, of course, had a lot of domestic issues that have kept him off the field. And the Phillies had to make a roster move today because Gene Segura, who we talked about as being one of the hottest hitters in all of baseball, was placed on the 10-day injured list. And so Brett was just refreshing and refreshing, like he was buying Top Shot or one of the NFTs, just waiting to see if Herrera was going to get called up. And the Phillies, Davis, they called up Scott Kingery, who they definitely want to give another opportunity to. So he'll play second base indefinitely. But today, will it make a difference, Davis, as the Phillies and Giants are about even here? So if you take the Phillies, it's, I mean, you're a lot of juice in on FanDuel anyway is going to be minus 120. So it's basically an even game. You bet 100 to win 106 on San Francisco. San Francisco is pitching well, and their bullpen is pretty good. And that has been interesting. It has led to more wins than I thought. Anthony DeSclafani starts. I saw him pitch against Miami last time out. Solid, unspectacular. A bomb can be hit at any time from that team in Philly. Maybe today's the day Harper hits one. Zach Eflin, to me, is a coin flip. Every time out, I don't know. Sometimes he looks great. Sometimes he looks terrible. No clue what he's going to do today. So what do you think today, Davis? Which way would you lean?
I would lean on the Giants here because without Segura, the bottom half of the Phillies lineup, it gets pretty thin. Starting from five, Brad Miller, Andrew Knapp, Nick Mattin, who I literally do not know who that is, and no Mickey Moniak, who you taught me about, whereas the Giants lineup, they're going with their pretty much their optimal lineup: LaStella, Yaz, Solano, Dickerson, Posey, Flores, Crawford, and Dubon. So I just think based on strength of lineup, you'd want to be on the Giants here. Now, I'm not a big Desclafani guy, and there are a good amount of left-handed bats here in the Phillies lineup: Harper, Miller, Knapp, Maton, and Moniak. So that's not great either. I would expect probably Desclafani only goes through the order twice here, and then it turns into more of a bullpen game since there are so many lefties in there. You know, you bring in a lefty long man, and that kind of then you force the Phillies to have to decide, well, are we going to sub some of these guys out? What are we going? Are we just going to let them languish in there? So I like the Giants here quite a bit, actually, plus 106.
All right, so 100 to win 106 from Davis there on the Giants. Let's move over to the game at Coors, where the Rockies are a pretty significant home underdog. You don't see this that often, especially with them, but it's been a tough year. They certainly could win in a one-game situation. They did yesterday. This is Houston's essentially their best pitcher, Jose Urquidy. Like he's not going to get bombed. He never gets bombed. He doesn't go eight innings and strike out 15, Davis, but he's going to pitch seven innings today. He's probably going to get up three runs. It's just a matter of what Houston's offense does. And then Austin Gomber will go for the Rockies. They're clearly hoping that since he was more or less the centerpiece of that deal with Nolan Arenado, that he becomes the best player that he possibly can be. And I'm not really sure that anybody can pitch at Coors. So Houston's minus 140. I don't know. They haven't really shown a lot, Davis. Like, their offense has been a disaster. So I don't know. Like, I may lean on Crone time again here. I may think Colorado has a shot again today.
Yeah, so Gomber's problem has been the walks. His very first start at home against the Dodgers, he walked 7 guys against 16 batters faced. That's a lot of walks for the guys that he faced. Then he walked 4 guys against the Giants. But then against the Dodgers, the last time he started, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks, 3 earned runs, you know, basically put in a good quality start against the best lineup in baseball. And I like you, not really that big on the Astros. It's closer to the full strength Astros team. The lineup they ran out yesterday, you know, we didn't start getting backups in until 7, 8, 9 for them. The Astros do also lose a little bit without the DH because probably their best pure hitter is Yordan Alvarez. So whenever they don't have Yordan Alvarez, it's not nearly as solid. So God, I hate betting on Colorado. It's the worst. But I do think I would take the juiced odds with Colorado here.
Yeah, I see it the same way on this one today. Until Houston shows something, not having Alvarez is a huge, huge point there, too, for that game. Not having Juan Soto could be a big problem for the Washington Nationals. They already placed Steven Strasburg on the injured list earlier in the week. Last night, just before the game began, Dave Martinez put Juan Soto on the injured list with a strained shoulder. And if I'm not mistaken, in spring training, he left the game early and they never said what it was for. Maybe this is something that's lingering. That would scare me. I'm not really sure what that answer is. I was not on the Zoom call, but others were, and asked Dave Martinez what happened yesterday.
Probably 45 minutes before the game. I mean, you know, he was dealing with the last few days. He complained of a tight tricep. This morning we figured we go get him an MRI. It came back showing that he had a slight strain in his left shoulder. And once again, you know, we're early. We got some days off. You know, we thought, hey, we're not going to take any chances with him. You know, we're just going to try to get him right as quick as possible. And when he's ready, he comes back.
Fun part of fantasy baseball this year. Top 4 picks in every draft, more or less, was Ronald Acuna Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., Juan Soto, and Mike Trout. And Davis, 3 of those 4 have at least had an injury scare of some kind this season. I mean, we're talking about the first 4 picks. Feels like fantasy football at the start of this season. Let's look at the odds today as the Nationals take on the St. Louis Cardinals at 4:05 Eastern. Max Scherzer is back on the mound. They're a massive favorite today against St. Louis. Washington is -164. I don't see a lineup yet for Washington. I did see one for the Cardinals. They're +138. Justin Williams is left-handed. They got him in the lineup today to see what he can do against Max Scherzer. He's played pretty well for them. DeJong has had a good week as well. Washington is down Soto and still -160 today. So interesting number there for me.
Yeah, well, that is more about Carlos Martinez, who has been absolutely brutal to start this short season, not generating any strikeouts. He has a 14% K rate thus far, 5 strikeouts against the Phillies in his last start, but 6 earned runs, 1 strikeout against that K heavy Brewers lineup, and then 4 strikeouts in his first start against the Reds. Like a guy like this who relies on velocity, who can't get strikeouts, but is also not generating soft contact, is just very hard to bet on guys like that. So even without Soto, you know, even down some of their best hitters, I think I want to lay the juice with the Washington Nationals here because I just cannot imagine wanting to bet on Carlos Martinez. Now, you know, if I had more insight as a baseball evaluator and I could say, okay, you know, Carlos Martinez is tipping his pitches or he's got this mechanical thing wrong or this mechanical thing wrong that he can fix in between the starts. But as an uneducated baseball fan, all I can say is, Carlos Martinez is going through like the worst stretch of his career right now, and betting on him feels very thin, to say the least.
Yeah, I think there are people who think that this is it for him, Davis. He signed that long-term extension with them. He's had a really hard time staying on the field. There are some that feel that the Cardinals may have been better just strictly using him as the closer over the last decade and just not even messed around with making him a starting pitcher. But he always wanted to be a starter. How are you supposed to tell a pitcher that you can't be a starter anymore when you've proven that you can do it? And that may have lengthened his career, but he's not throwing hard enough right now to even pitch in the eighth inning or the ninth inning. So it's a tough dynamic for him for sure. All right, so lay 160 on Washington today. That's the call there. A couple of players going on the injured list, Davis, before we wrap up this segment. Looks like Anthony Santander of the Baltimore Orioles, who was their leadoff hitter, is going on the 10-day injured list. He got hurt diving back to the bag yesterday. And Davis, we may get another look here at Spencer Howard. The Philadelphia Phillies have recalled him, and I know that there's high hopes for him, but unfortunately he hasn't really proven it yet at the big league level. But Phillies are running out of options there at starting pitcher.
Which we knew a lot of teams were going to be in that spot this year where, you know, basically two injuries to their starting rotation and then, you know, COVID tests, health and safety protocols. It's, you know, we're going to start getting deep into some of these guys, right? We're going to see guys coming back and pitching this year that we haven't thought about for years, Craig. I mean, we're going to have guys coming who have never gotten to the major league level before, who've never pitched in AAA before, guys who've been, or 30-year-old veterans who've been sitting down in AAA. I mean, we are just, it's going to be bad for some of these teams. And so much of, you know, these regular seasons are going to be luck related. Matt Moore, you know, which was kind of a cool story for Matt Moore to be pitching, you know, decent early on in this short season. But, you know, who knows what happens when one of these guys ends up on the COVID list and how long they stay there.
Yeah, Aaron Sanchez back pitching with San Francisco too. Coming up next, we're going to hit on the NBA second hour of the show. We're going to focus a little bit more on the NFL draft. I did see something I wanted to bring up here right for the end of this hour. An interesting tweet that I saw about a press conference that was being held today from the new offensive coordinator from the Philadelphia Eagles, Davis, about an open competition at quarterback between Jalen Hurts and Joe Flacco. I have to believe that this is just motivational and not real. Because does anybody in their right mind think that that would be the way that the Eagles would go at the start of the season?
No, it's the most obnoxious thing ever. And I feel like it's just total tough guy football posturing, which is like my least favorite thing. The culture in locker rooms and from football coaches, like football is a great game. It's the sport I love the most, but the culture from head coaches and the tough guy stuff and the, you know, make everyone earn it. It is so obnoxious because it has no place in a competitive environment where you're trying to maximize every edge. Like, what are you getting extra out of Jalen Hurts by pretending that Joe Flacco might start a game or that you might start Nate Sudfeld? Like, what value are you extracting out of this relationship? You're not doing anything. You're doing Jalen Hurts a disservice. You're doing the team a disservice. Like, we've seen all these teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Cleveland Browns, the Dallas Cowboys, the Tennessee Titans, all of these teams have been very successful with these mobile quarterbacks by doing everything they can to make the offense easy for them, giving them easy throws, giving them wide receivers who create separation so they don't have to make really tight window throws. And that clearly, analytically, is the right thing to do. Make the job for your quarterback as easy as possible. And the Eagles are trying to tie Jalen Hurts' hand behind his back and make him do it like with his offhand. It's preposterous.
Yeah, I think that I could probably go the other way here. And I think that this is all nonsense talk. But I may go the other way and say, why wouldn't you verbally back Jalen Hurts as opposed to doing it this way? Like, why wouldn't you say he's our guy? He's the man. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something there. I understand, like you said, the culture and creating the competition of it. But not here, not in this situation. I mean, you literally just traded away what you thought was the franchise quarterback. You may want to come back out and back the guy that you, one of the reasons why you traded him, but no, not going to be the case. All right, coming up next, the Knicks are playing good basketball. Let's hang on to that thought here. We're heading toward the playoffs. Knicks are going to be part of this thing. The question is, the Atlanta Hawks are also having a really good season as well. It looks like an even matchup tonight in Madison Square Garden. Who will end up being on top? We'll preview that coming up for you next as the Knicks are -2 there. We got our headlines, live baseball for you in the second hour of the show. So when anything happens, we'll let you know. And we'll continue on here on Fantasy Sports Today in just a couple of minutes. Don't forget our YouTube channel, all of our videos, every show that you watch on Sports Grid is over on that channel. And we'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today NBA preview next. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. The NBA is better when the Knicks are good. The Knicks are having a good season, so why not highlight that a little bit, is my opinion. Tough matchup tonight, though, against Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. And, Davis, let's take a look at the odds over on FanDuel for tonight as we wrap up this hour. Knicks are -2, a bucket. That's it. Against Atlanta, the total is 216.5. They're telling you this one, the teams are even, could go either way. Is it that much of a coin flip tonight? Do you like any side? Do you like a total in the game tonight?
Yeah, it's definitely a very close game. The Knicks are one of the few teams that you can count for 110% effort every single night. That's how they do it. They grit and they grind. I think it's going to be a shock for them in the playoffs when they are also meeting absolute, complete locked-in effort from other great teams, because outside of Julius Randle, they don't really have a star, and Randle is a star in the NBA now. The Hawks, I think you could argue, have 2.5. Trae Young, one of the best scoring guards in the NBA. John Collins, a very talented young big man. But Clint Capella leads the NBA in rebounding, is one of the most impactful defensive players, and has really become not a great offensive player, because it's hard, you know, non-shooters can't really be great offensive players, but he is about as good as it gets in terms of finishing around the rim, dunking and all that. So I'm taking Atlanta and the points tonight. I think they're able to go into the Garden and get a win.
All right. So +2 is the pick. Also, money line, not bad either. Get a little plus money, 100 to win about 110, I think, on FanDuel if you want to take the Hawks there as well. All right, that'll do it for our first hour of the show. We just kind of flew by here. We got a fun hour coming up for you as Patrick Corain is going to be joining Davis for a little bit of an NFL draft preview every day here on the show leading up to next Thursday. We'll do that for you. Also, in the second hour of the show, a player that you may not know a ton about, Davis Mills, is headed to the NFL draft next Thursday. He is a quarterback from Stanford. And a little bit of an up-and-down career, I would say. But look, quarterback inflation is a real thing, so you know he's getting drafted Thursday night. We'll talk about where he may end up. Hour 2 is next on Sports Grid. Don't go away.